turn to Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19. I'm hoping to get through two verses tonight, like we did last week. Proverbs 10:19. We're over halfway through Proverbs chapter 10 now. It says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." This would be one of the more popular proverbs, I think, anyway. I know this is one that I've quoted many, many times, just referring to various things. So we're going to look at the first part first. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. So I'll start off, as I usually do, by defining the terms. Multitude is the character, quality, or condition of being many, numerous, great number. Want, because it says in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, want is, and this is the verb, to be lacking or missing, not to exist, not to be forthcoming, to be deficient in some degree or in some quantity or degree. Sin is an act which is regarded as a transgression of the divine law, and as an offense against God, a violation, especially willful or deliberate, of some religious or moral principle. It's a pretty good definition, because the Bible itself defines it in 1 John chapter 4, I think it is, as the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. So if we put these definitions back into this half of the verse, we see that when a great number of words are spoken, there will be no lack of sin. Or said another way, if one talks too much, sin will invariably result. So if you get talking and you keep talking, especially in certain circumstances and situations, then sin is probably lying at the door. It's going to eventually come. And I have a number of reasons for that, which I will give you now. So I have five of them here, and there are probably others, but here's five examples of why this verse, or how this verse, would play out in our actual lives. So the first one would be, much talking often leads to gossiping about others, which leads to whispering and backbiting, which is sin. So you've probably all experienced this before. If you turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 29, but you probably experienced this before, where you get talking and then you get talking about other people, and before you know it, somebody is running somebody else down and telling stories about them, whether true or untrue, and before you know it, there's a lot of backbiting and whispering and that kind of thing going on. Romans 1, 29 through 30. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I read those two verses for two words, whisperers, backbiters, which happen to be sandwiched in between a whole bunch of really, really bad things, right? So you don't want to be in that company. God obviously thinks very lowly of whispering and backbiting, though people don't think that's such a big deal, but God certainly does. Well, I should say, people don't think it's such a big deal unless they're the object of it. If they're the ones that are doing it, they don't think it's a big deal, but if they find out somebody else is doing it about them, then they're a little more concerned about it. Okay, so the second way that a multitude of words will end up in sin is much talking often leads to getting too comfortable with other conversers, or I could say conversators, but with other conversers, and then sinning with our lips via dirty jokes, flirting, sexual innuendo, or saying other things which should not be uttered ends up happening. And this especially happens when you get people of the opposite sex together who are not married, or who are married typically, but not to each other, and you get too much conversation going on, you get too friendly, you get too comfortable, and or if it could be in a small group of people, and before you know it, you start telling jokes, and the jokes get dirtier and dirtier, and everybody wants to one-up the other person, and you get really friendly with the ladies, and before you know it, you're flirting back and forth and using sexual innuendo, all those kind of things. That happens. I've seen it happen. I'm sure we've probably, at least people in a workplace, have probably seen it happen. I've seen so-called Christians, professing Christians, couples of Christians that were all friends and like all flirting around, like being all flirty with each other. I mean, they're husbands and wives. I mean, they're couples together, so their spouse is right there, and they're all kind of flirting around with each other, and it's just really bizarre. But I've seen this happen in, you know, among so-called professing Christians anyway. So that's something to watch out for. Colossians 3 and verse 8. Colossians 3 and verse 8. It says, "Now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." So that filthy communication isn't necessarily four-letter words. Could be, depending on the context. But it could be dirty jokes. It could be flirting with somebody that's not your wife or your husband. It could be sexual innuendo, like I said. It could be all kinds of things. Or it could be whispering and backbiting. I mean, there's all kinds of things that would constitute filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, could also apply to in situations where you have much talking, especially when angry, that leads to railing, reviling, and cursing others, and that's a sin. James 3, 8 through 10. James 3, 8 through 10. It says, "But the tongue can no man tame, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Usually when you're angry, the longer you talk, the worse it gets. Right? You tend to get madder and madder the more you go. Unless you have somebody there that is good at calming you down. But a lot of times, you get somebody that's really angry, and then once you start talking, then it's like the water flow, you know, like it just starts coming out, and you just don't stop until you've really ripped into somebody, and that's when the sin comes out. All right, the fourth way that much talking can lead to sin is by divulging private information, which was meant to be kept secret. So the more you talk and you're not guarding your tongue, the more likely it is that you end up sharing things that you shouldn't be sharing. You shouldn't be telling people. You know, these things are supposed to be kept in confidence. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. This is why attorneys or police, if they're interrogating somebody, they want to get the guy talking. And if they can get you talking, and you, the more you talk, the more you will reveal. And the more comfortable you get, the more you'll reveal. They know this, and they will use this to get information out of people, rightly or wrongly. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." The talebearer is the guy that likes to do a lot of talking, right? He loves to go and tell whatever he knows. The more talking to do, the more likely that's going to happen. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. If you have a man that does a lot of flattering and likes to butter you up and likes to make you feel good when he tells you all these nice things about you, be careful, because somebody like that likes to tell tales and he likes to share secrets. And because if you flatter somebody and then you get them to open up to you, you can learn a lot of things about them if they like you and if they feel a connection with you, and then that can be used against you. Then he can go spread it around. So you want to watch out for the flatterer, because he may have ulterior motives. And Proverbs 12 and verse 23. "A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness." See, the prudent man knows when to keep his mouth shut. He conceals knowledge. He doesn't say everything that he knows or everything that he thinks. He keeps things close. Especially with certain people, right? He knows who he can open up to and who he can't. And then another application of this verse would be in legislation, when you got these laws that are passed. And here in the U.S., we'll have bills that are thousands of pages long that nobody has read. Probably no one person on the earth has ever read this bill. Because no one person writes this. All these lobbyists and people like that regulate, they're the ones that are writing these bills, and all this stuff gets thrown into this bill, and my guess is that no one person has ever read it. Certainly the congressmen that are voting on it have never read it, not even close. You couldn't. They give you a few hours to vote, you know, before the vote to even read it, which is why if I was ever running for Congress, which I certainly would hope I never do, if I would, my promise would be that my default vote will be no on everything. That will be my go-to vote is no, unless I can read the entire thing and be in total agreement with it, which is pretty much almost impossible. So I can almost promise you that 999 out of 1,000 of my votes will be no. And if you don't like that, then don't vote for me. But it's kind of like Ron Paul. They called him Dr. No. He had more no votes and more lone no votes, where he was the only congressman out of all 435 that voted no. He had more of those than any other congressman. So anyway, so to the verse here. Psalm 94 and verse 20. So what happens in these large legislative bills is that they end up containing all kinds of evil that is hidden among their multitude of words. That's how they get away with it. They couldn't get away with all this stuff if they just gave you a bill on a half of a page that said, we want to have the right to lock you up in Guantanamo Bay if we don't like your political opinions and not give you a trial. Nobody's going to pass that. But you put that little thing in a bill that's 2,000 pages long and nobody even knows it or sees it, right? Then, oh, okay, you can pass that.
This is what happened the other day,
too. Oh, with that. Yeah, with that Inflation Reduction Act. Yeah, that inflation... Inflation Causing Act. No, that's, they've been doing this forever. Psalm 94 and verse 20, it says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? This is not something the U.S. government came up with in the last 100 years. People have been doing this for thousands of years. Framing mischief by a law. Take something that would be otherwise evil, have a group of men that supposedly represent the populace vote on it, and all of a sudden what was evil now becomes legal, right? Not lawful, but it's legal. Framing mischief by a law. So there's five ways that the multitude of words won't be without sin. Now if you turn to Ecclesiastes 5:3, we're going to see here that a fool is known by his multitude of words. And we know that the thought of foolishness is sin. We know that fools are sinners. I mean, we've been through enough Proverbs to know that. Well, this kind of all goes together then. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, it's because fools are the ones that are full of words. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3. It says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. And in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. So the fool's voice is not going to be wanting sin. What he says is going to end up, there's going to end up something sinful coming out of his mouth sooner or later, because that's just how he is. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 14, it says, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? Speaking too much leads to sin, which leads to destruction. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Now this is not, I mean, the Bible's not saying that we shouldn't talk and we shouldn't be social, and right? But it is warning us about too much idle talk, and, you know, letting those barriers come down where you should be keeping certain things to yourself, and you just start letting way too much stuff out. The Bible is warning us about that.
It's called word vomit.
Yes, that's right.
Word vomit.
Proverbs 13 and verse 3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." And why does he have destruction? Because sin brings destruction. Sin brings death, right? "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin." So when you open wide your lips and spew out a bunch of words, sin's going to come out, and then you're going to end up being destroyed. Or destruction by being punished or something like that. "If we keep our mouths, we will keep our souls from trouble." Proverbs 21 and verse 23. "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." You'll keep your, and sometimes the soul refers to your person. So it'll keep your person, yourself, from troubles. But it'll also keep your inward man from troubles. Because how many times, I guarantee you, you've all experienced this. I know I have. You'll be with somebody and you'll say something, and then afterwards you feel bad. You think, I shouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have said that. Right? That happens all the time. It'll keep your soul from troubles if you learn to keep your mouth shut when it should be shut. The tricky thing in life is learning when to speak when you should and when to not speak when you shouldn't. And that's a really hard thing to figure out.
Oh, there's another thing. Accepting things you cannot change and changing the things you can.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's really now true at work, too. Because you can start something there. If you hold the office, and by the time it gets back around you, that's not what you even said in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all tricked up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. "But he that refraineth his lips is wise." So we have a contrast here, as a lot of these proverbs are. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Refrain means to restrain, hold back, check a person or thing. Reflexively, when it would mean to refrain oneself, means to restrain, put restraint upon oneself, to repress any manifestation of emotion, impatience, etc. So refrain equals restrain, to hold back, in other words, to check. Of course, a wise person, as we've seen many times in this study, is one having or exercising sound judgment or discernment, capable of judging truly concerning what is right or fitting, and disposed to act accordingly, having the ability to perceive and adopt the best means for accomplishing an end, characterized by good sense and prudence, opposed to foolish. So if we put it all together again, a man who has sound judgment, discernment, good sense, and prudence will restrain and hold back himself, his emotions, and his words. He'll have control over his mouth and his tongue, in other words, and over himself in general. According to Job, I think this is one of Job's friends that said this, in Job 13:5, "It is a sign of wisdom to hold one's peace." And I agree with this. It's a wise man that can hold back from saying something when he wants to say it, but he knows it would be better left unsaid, but boy, does he want to say it. That's a sign of wisdom when you can hold yourself back. Proverbs, Job 13 and verse 5. This is Job speaking, as a matter of fact. He says, he's speaking to his, quote, friends. "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." You guys think you're so smart. If you were smart, you'd keep your mouth shut and quit blaming me for all these things that I never did and saying that all this evil's come upon me for some wicked sin that I've done. Because they were accusing him of all kinds of things that he had not done.
That's a good contrast verse with Proverbs 17:28.
Mm-hmm.
The one in Job 13:5.
Yep, it is. We'll be getting to that verse here in just a minute. Wise men, let their words be few, in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. Now, of course, there's a limit to this. I mean, you could say, okay, I'm going to be the wisest person that ever lived, and I'm never going to open my mouth, I'm never going to say anything. But that wouldn't be a sign of wisdom either, because a wise man knows when, you know, there's a time to speak and there's a time to keep silence. And sometimes it would be wrong to keep silence, but sometimes it's the right thing to do. I got some quotes about that here in a little bit. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. It says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And this is in the context talking about when you go to the house of God, to keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. That was the previous verse. So when you go to the house of God especially, you should be more ready to hear than to give the answer of fools. And, this is, church is a time to learn, not a time, I mean, the church service is a time to learn, not a time to be blabbing like the Corinthians were, where everybody had a song, or everybody had they all had an interpretation, they all had a, let me see if I can find that. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, it was a psalm. I thought, yeah, I was confused myself. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. They all thought that they needed to be talking and telling everybody how much they knew, and all of these words that they got from the Lord, allegedly. Fools say everything they're thinking, but wise men refrain from doing so. Proverbs 14 and verse 13. Yep. 14:33. You know, some people you wonder, like, oh, I wonder what he's thinking, or somebody would say, what are you thinking? You know, I can't figure it out. You could tell something's going on there. You generally don't have to say that to a fool, though, because you'll know exactly what he's thinking, because he'll tell you. He'll tell you everything he's thinking. Proverbs 14 and verse 33 says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. Like, it rests. It stays down in there. It just doesn't come running out all the time. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. It doesn't stay in the midst of them. It comes out. You're going to find out about it. There's an old saying, and this is, especially given the makeup of this study, will probably get me into trouble given the male-to-female ratio here. But there is a saying that says, a quiet man is a thinking man, and a quiet woman is usually mad.
I totally agree with
that. Yeah.
But I think women also think...
You agree with
me? Yes, I agree.
A quiet woman is mad?
Is usually mad.
Quiet. So when she says, quiet. What's wrong? Nothing.
Oh, like that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking as a whole, you know.
Or just not saying
anything. No. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. It's called the silent treatment.
It works.
All right. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Now this is interesting because, so the fool utters all his mind. Somebody makes him mad, and he just lets him have it right there. He tells him everything he thinks. But the wise man, he waits until after he gets in the car, after he gets home, and then he lets it out. So this tells me that it's not wrong to vent frustrations about things, right? A wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. It doesn't say he keeps it in forever, right? But
he keeps it until he doesn't have a big crowd.
Yeah, or till he gets away from the person that would be able to harm him by telling him. The verse that Judy was referring to here in Proverbs 17:27-28 shows us that a wise man spares his words. Proverbs 17:27-28 says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." A lot of people think that the people that do all the talking are the wise ones and the smart ones. And sometimes people that are smart do have a lot to say. But a lot of times it's just the opposite. It's the wise people that don't say a lot. And they just sit back and wait to be asked.
I think the Lord Jesus did not talk a lot. It's like every time he would talk, there would be... would be significant or mm-hmm. worthwhile.
Oh, yeah, certainly. To. Yeah, no, he would have never let an idle word out of his lips. And our verse tonight, our memory verse, James 1:19, one of the memory verses, we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1 and verse 19. James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to hear, but slow to speak." Of course, you know why we're exhorted and commanded this, right? Because human nature is just the opposite. Quick to speak and slow to listen. But if we would learn that, we would get along a lot better in this world.
Two ears
and one mouth. We should use them proportionally, yes. All right, so I have here a bunch of quotes of advice given by wise men over the years concerning talking. Some of these I've probably quoted to you before. Some of these are new. Charles Bridges, in his commentary on Ecclesiastes, said, "In fact, it is generally found that those who have the most discourse have the least knowledge. Words are too often the substitute for thinking rather than the medium of thought." And that is true. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher in England in the mid-1800s, said or wrote, "It is not a severe criticism to say that there are ministers whose words stand in a very large proportion to their thoughts." And I've heard some of them. They're not deep thinkers. They haven't put a lot of deep thought. They speak a lot more than they think. Elder Leon Clevenger, which I understand was just one of your neighbors up the road here, before he died, he said, "Empty wagons make more noise than full and weighty ones," which is true. Now you take an empty wagon, take it down a bumpy road like this, and it's going to rattle, make all kinds of noise. You load it down heavy, it's not going to make as much noise. You take a person with an empty head, he's going to make a lot more noise than a person that has wisdom. John C. Maxwell, which is a motivational speaker, I've listened to a number of his talks. He said, "Great people talk about ideas, average people talk about themselves, and small people talk about others."
Oh, so he's the one who said that.
Well, there's another version of that. I think that Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, supposedly said. Well, it was a different version of it. It's not exactly the same. But yeah, I thought there's a lot to that. Great people talk about ideas, average people talk about themselves, and small people talk about others. And if you want to humble yourself, just think back on your conversations for a while and think about what we talk about. Bernard M. Baruch said, "Most of the successful people I've known are the ones who do more listening than talking." That's what he said. Makes sense to me. A guy named Alfred Brendel, which I don't know who he is, Alfred Brendel said, The word listen contains the same letters as the word silent. And it in fact does, if you look at it. Charles Caleb Colton said, when you have nothing to say, say nothing. When you have nothing to say, say nothing. See, American culture is not okay with silence. You ever notice when you get two people or more, you know, a group of people, and there's silence for even a second and a half, and everybody's like, oh, I gotta say something. I should say something. We don't like silence, right? Other cultures aren't, some cultures aren't like that. They're okay with silence. Two, three people can just sit there and just say nothing. And,
I think Japanese are like that, perhaps?
I'm not sure which ones, but yeah, I think probably. There's nothing wrong with silence. Some unknown quantity said the following. Not every person that speaks less than you, not every person that speaks less than you do is more ignorant than you are. Not every person that speaks less than you do is more ignorant than you are. Plato, the philosopher, said, wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools, because they have to say something. Love that quote. It's one of my favorites. I'm reminded of Peter when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration and he was afraid. And he said, let's make three tabernacles, one for thee and Moses and Elijah. And it said, because he wist not what to say. A fool speaks because he's got to say something. And then another unknown fellow said, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. Oh, he did. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. If you're silent, men might think you're a fool. But if you open your mouth and show them, then they'll definitely know. I remember, I've probably told this story before, I remember being at work one time and they were discussing some technical topic, and I was afraid that if I said anything, I would be shown to be the idiot that I was, and I just said nothing. But then there have been other times where I was at work, and I hear they're talking about something and some word that I'm not familiar with, and I finally just ask, what is that? And I know I'm risking them thinking that I'm a total idiot, and it turns out it was some proprietary thing that I would have never known about, nobody would have, or whatever. So it just depends on the situation. And then some other unknown fellow said, silence is wisdom when speaking is folly. Silence is wisdom when speaking is folly. So in summary, don't be a babbler, blabber, blabbermouth, blowhard, cackler, chatterbox, chatterer, gabber, gabbler, gasbag, jabberer, jay, magpie, motormouth, prattler, incessant talker, or a windbag. I know how to use a thesaurus.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.